Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I am Anders McGowan, and I've got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie week 26, is that right? Oh, geez, let me check. Can I check? Oh, yeah, week 26, episode 26 of 36 or so weeks. And I was going to check in with you guys yesterday, but life began again the morning after the shoot, which was Friday. The shoot happened. LA Film didn't have an opportunity to shut us down, though they did try. Oh, there's stories from the set, guys. So many stories from the set. Life began again with the family and doing stuff for as a dad and a husband the very following morning. And then Sunday was insane all over the place, doing catch up. And then I really wanted to plug in the drive and take a look at the footage and put everything in bins and organize everything and map it out in my head just to make sure. I mean, I had a pretty good idea with all the organization and all the steps that we took, but I really wanted to make sure that we weren't missing anything or we didn't have any blown takes or any kind of technological problems that would prevent us from saying or prevent me from saying this. We have the movie shot. We have a movie in the can, as they say, and now begins the assembly. I know I've been saying thanks a lot over these last few months, and I want to thank everyone who's listening to this, anyone who shared this, anyone who's just believed in what we're doing, and anyone who obviously has given money to allow any of this to have happened. Thank you so much on behalf of me, obviously, because I'm the voice that you hear, but it's really well beyond me. All of the people that were a part of this, even the crew and all the camera guys that came in and worked for free or practically free, and Panavision that helped so much. And they all see what we're trying to do here. They believe in it and they want it to happen. But mainly for the cast and my SAG after actors, we had 8 of them, some of which were born to act players. They all absolutely had a great time doing it, but I got to tell you the best part of the day by far. So it started at 7, got there. My call was 7:30. I got there around 7:10, and we were there until 10 p.m., right? And it was towards the end of the day, because we tried to wrap at 8 p.m. with all of our actors, and we had 12 born to act players that got called off by my assistant director, John. Also, I've been calling everyone individually, like all the crew and gaffers and grips and camera guys, and just thanking them for all of their hard work, because I just didn't have time to really, like, you know, catch up or say hello even to some of these guys. Some of these guys I didn't even know. Mickey brought them in, but I've been trying to call everyone and thank them and say, you know, I owe you one. We all owe you one. But back to the point, when somebody is wrapped on a movie, when they're finished, the assistant director will make an announcement. And a lot of the time it's one or two people finish their scene with with dialogue, and then they're done with the movie. They don't have anything else to do. And the assistant director will say, and that's a picture wrap on, and he'll say their names and there'll be some applause. Well, he got to do that 12 times in a row for all of my born act players that were in the classroom scene. I had it broken up into 2 different scenes that they were in. A little confusing. I'm not going to weigh you down with all the details, but we had 6 born to act. No, 8 born to act players that were in the big reveal, and they were playing crew members like script supervisors, camera assistants, boom operators. I had Spencer, who's one of the guys that I go farthest back with at Born to Act Players. He's a total character. He's probably the most mischievous guy at Born to Act, and I just absolutely love him, Spencer. And I put him on boom mic, so he was like our boom operator for that big reveal. So we wrapped them out earlier. A number of them wanted to stay, though, and hang out and watch everything. And then we wrapped out all 12 of our classroom artists as they were playing in the scene right around 8 o'clock. And we had to get them out of there. It was either 8 or 8:30. The whole day is just kind of a blur. But, we were up against the clock. We had to, meet specific requirements, and everything was, it was much different than all the independent movies that I've made. Even though this is independent, but the SAG-AFTRA, like, we had to adhere to rules, especially because these guys, some of them, were really getting tired, and not one of them complained, but some of them, 8 hours, it was 9 hours with lunch break. I was really, pushing them harder than I wanted to, and couldn't push them any harder because of SAG-AFTRA, thankfully, probably, because I probably would have asked them, hey, can we do another half hour just to make sure we got everything? But anyways, so John calls them out one by one, their full names, says what role they're playing, and then they get up, everyone claps, and I wasn't the only one, crying, and it was nothing sad about it. It was just so, at the risk of sounding like an absolute pap, it was just, and for lack of a better term, it was just, it was one beautiful moment after another. Every single one of my Born to Act players really chewed up that opportunity to, have their applause, and because, they get it a lot with the acting that we do every week too. But I'd never seen them in that scenario where, there's cameras around and lights and a bunch of strangers essentially to them, and some of them even to me, all applauding them for a job well done and a really hard, long day, a fun day, but a long, hard day. And they're going up and bowing, and some of them were doing twirls and stuff. And Mike captured all of this for the documentary, so you guys will eventually see all of this. But I wasn't the only one who was tearing up. It was, I'm going to start right now. It was just awesome. I knew that these guys would have a great time. I did not anticipate that they would have as good a time as they had. It was just, like I said, some of my Born to Act players that were playing crew members and they got released like at lunch, they hung around for an additional 4 or 5 hours. Their parents were like, all right, can we go? And they're like, my Born to Act players are like, no, this is fun. Let's hang out and watch how this is all done. So I think a lot of people learned a whole bunch on both sides, from crew to cast. And I knew my Born to Act players were going to have a great time, but I honestly did not think that they were going to enjoy themselves as much as they did. And that will be seen in the documentary as well as her performances. Oh God, it was just, I've done a lot of stuff, guys. And this is one of my favorite things. I can also tell you that day started off with me directing the office scenes where it's Keith Coogan being a real jerk and going apoplectic on the phone, yelling at Ben. And we see, the guys club and just men behaving badly. I equated, one of the notes that I gave to Brock was, have you ever seen, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on the name now. Wow. What the heck is the name? It's Neil LaBute movie. Met in the Company of Men. In the Company of Men. Yeah. A little like that, boys club, speaking poorly, a little cartoony, but ultimately it's Ben's movie, and this is what Ben's recollection or Ben's idea of these two guys is. So we have a little leeway to play it over the top a little bit. But I was directing those two, and that was pretty easy. We had two cameras going, and I got to have him go up and down the set that we built that looked like an actual office with cubicles and everything. We built it in the back. It's remarkable what Bianca Haley, my art department and set decorators, were able to do with such limited budget and short time. And then we moved into the office where they really got to enjoy some back and forth and some dialogue and just men being bad guys, and it was fun. It was a whole lot of fun. And then we moved on to the big reveal. And then we had lunch. And then we set up for the big classroom scene, which was the main set piece, I guess. And it had the most dialogue and the most pages. And it was the whole setup for what Ben is trying to do, which is make a movie about his boss and his boss's brother. And using his friends that he volunteers with at the art therapy clinic to make this movie. And he wants to crew up with these guys. And so a lot of that is going on with Mary, who is playing a version of herself. And, it's three lead main characters in the front, and then the classroom is behind them. And most all of them had lines or moments, my Born Nag players. So what we did is we did what they're called specials, and they're inserts. They're little, close ups or medium shots of them reading their lines. And, I knew that was going to be challenging, and I wrote accordingly to make sure that I didn't have too much dialogue for these guys, because they're good if we have a lot of time. And, you know, right now we're rehearsing A Christmas Carol for the Christmas show, as well as The Grinch, and I think some Polar Express songs. And when we do repetitive, week in, week out, and we have that kind of time, yeah, these guys are great. They know how to act. They know how to take direction. But day of, I knew that our time would be limited. So I had like an hour and a half set aside to get the lines that I needed from these guys. And, you know, we gave them cues and whatnot, but they were doing it out of context to an extent. And it was a bit challenging. And some took a little longer than others, but I can tell you that I did not have to move on before I got what I thought could work for each and every one of my Born to Act players. And that was by far and away the most rewarding and just exciting. And like, I got such a pump of adrenaline every time we'd get the line and they'd nail it, and they would be so happy and I would be so happy. And it was great. It was really fun directing some actors that I know their work and I'm familiar with them, and they came on this project, like John Capolos. That was great. I directing him, and Eddie Levy from AP Bio. That was great. Obviously Coogan and my buddy Brock, who's one of the most talented assistants. He is the most talented assistant, I should say, at Born to Act players. But it was directing my Born to Act friends and getting, working as a team with them and going back and forth was so much fun. I could have done that all day. And I took John and Eddie a little bit for granted, because then we, had to go into their dialogue scenes and, do their pages. And we were all able to just kind of roll through that without a whole lot of direction and babysitting. Also, because we had done the work before, so we had an idea of where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do. So that's that. I will be telling more stories as we go here. I'll probably, Brian came to visit, which was a surprise. I didn't know that Paul Brian would show up on set. He did. Avery came later in the day and spent a number of hours there hanging out with Florence. And of course, we had Chris Moran and Jed Jesse, and Zach came by and helped out for the first half. So there was people that had flown in and come in from all over the place to help make this a reality. And it was just awesome. So just because I wouldn't be me unless I had some kind of negative bit to this, because I always like to point out things that I think could be changed in this world, or I like to point out the negative. My wife will probably never understand this, but I point out the negative because I think a lot of the negative things in this world are completely unnecessary. And if we all complain about them or whine or identify them and point them out and yell about them, maybe they'll go away or maybe they'll get better. I don't know. But here's what I walked into or drove into Saturday or Friday morning, just after 7, when we were all getting ready. I had already gotten one phone call, and then I got two different reports from people that walked up to me to say, hey, the Film LA guy, the Film LA is the company that, or whatever they are, that allow us to shoot at the place that we already paid for and that we're going to shoot at. And then they come in and they say, oh, you want to shoot here, huh? Well, where's our cut? That kind of thing. Ended up paying them $3,000, just under $3,000, just to them. I don't know why, just I guess to send me a few emails, as well as a bunch of money on top of that for the police that they made us get. And I've said all this, and the extra insurance that was just absurdly over the top. So I thought everything was taken care of. Then they were asking for another permit, and hey, what do you need? They need like a permit for the permit or something. I don't even know what happened with that. Somebody figured that out. But like, I think LA Film LA was asking for the permit, and like, you guys are the ones who gave us the permit. What are you talking about? And then the cops are asking for the permit. Oh, I got to call that guy that set us up with the cops too and thank him. He was the best. Anyways, so here's what I hear. A couple people walk up to me and they're like, hey, Film LA is talking about, shutting down production or fining us like heavily, because we had said that we were going to have two trucks, and I guess we have four trucks in the parking lot. And as far as Film LA is concerned, that's a huge, huge finable, we had done something very wrong. What is the word? we failed them by having four trucks rather than two, even though we paid for all these parking spots and they were all negotiated. And like those were our, that was our parking lot. But as far as Film LA was concerned, they didn't like the idea that there's four trucks in there instead of two. And my UPM, Tiffany, had been trying to get a hold of Film LA to let them know that we now had four trucks, but Film LA wasn't getting back to us. Day of, Film LA is like, you got to remove these trucks, shut down production or pay us. And Mike Carano, apparently, and Tiffany helped as well, but Mike Carano, guy never fails to surprise me. He was one of the guys who this Film LA, I guess Film LA, the Film LA representative, just anyone who would listen in the parking lot. He was like saying, hey, I'm going to fine you. You're going to get fined or you're going to have to cease production because you have two extra trucks. Like, who cares? They're in the parking spots. They're off the street. What are you talking about? So Mike's like, yeah, you're going to find me? I don't know about that. I'm just kind of here with my friend. You can't find me. And then he's like, hey, guy. Hey, Film LA guy. I'm not using his name purposely. He's like, I don't know if you know what we're doing here, but like, yeah, sure, we're making a movie, but it's mainly about, you know, giving these born to act players who know all about, you know, theater and stage acting, but they want to be in movies and TV shows and commercials and stuff. We're giving them the full experience. Like, that's what a lot of this is about, if not all of it. Do you even know like what we're trying to do here? What are you doing? And the guy was actually really quite receptive, apparently. And Mike talked to him more about it. And I didn't know about any of this was happening. This was all happening before 8 o'clock. And then I'm upstairs talking to one of my actors on the set of The Office. And Mike comes up all like bushy tailed and bright eyed and happy. And he's got the Film LA guy with him in tow. And the Film LA guy is like, who I didn't want to have anything. I never wanted to see that guy. I didn't want to talk to that guy. I wanted nothing to do with that guy. So I was furious when Mike shows up before we even begun shooting with the Film LA guy in tow. And the Film LA guy puts his hand out, shakes my hand, and he says, hey, your friend here was just telling me, you know, what you guys are doing and what the whole themes, what the themes are. And he's like, any kind of infractions, you know, I shouldn't be saying this, but he's like, hey, we'll work on those. And, you know, I'll take that into account. And I just want to tell you, you know, this is the Film LA guy talking to, you know, have a great shoot. And, you know, if any problems come up, we'll figure them out. We'll fix them. And Mike really helped broker that peace treaty, I guess, is what it ultimately ended up being. So, but the fact that even like so we have that goodwill and, you know, we are obviously doing things that other people are responding to. And this is just something that I think will be great and entertaining and well worth it and all that stuff. And of course I want to do right by my born act players. I mean, this is my motivating factor, but the fact that other people are seeing this is great. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. But let's say that let's take the born act players out of it. Let's take representation out of it. Let's take, you know, special needs out of it. And we're just, you know, a small crew trying to make a movie. Let's say it's about a bank heist or something. And we're doing all we can to get this movie off the ground and do a proof of work and, you know, get this feature made because we love movies. And we get to this space where everything's paid for and we've countless hours of doing what we think is the right thing to try and do to let Film LA, to get Film LA off our back. And then morning of, they show up and they're giving us this business about the truck. And then they're without any, like, what if we, you know, lucky for us and because of the nature of this project, I think we got away with one here. But we also heard that there is no problem with having Lyft or rideshare drop off any crew or actors or parents, which was a big sticking point when I was talking to my original guy. And I said, all right, well, can they park in the neighborhood? Nope. I said, can they take a cab? Nope. I said, so the only way that they can get to set, if we run out of spaces, because we only had like 35 spaces, the only way they can get to set is to like ride a bike or walk or skateboard. Yep. Oh my God. Why can't they take ride? They're just not allowed to. And then we heard that was total false. That was totally false. They were absolutely allowed to take a ride share. So he was just giving us like wrong information too. So we're lucky that we have, you know, people that are on our side, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. Entities that try and just, one of the themes in my short and in the feature is just the people that try and get in the way of progress and the people that try and get in the way of doing the right thing are just, and it comes up a few times in the short film. Just the fact that the nemesis, the antagonist, and they're the Cantor brothers, can't. Again, I wrote that specifically because there's a lot of people who love to just say no, or you can't do that, or this is impossible. And they're the ones who get in the way of all the things. You know, I'm on my pulpit a little bit, and it is, I'm making it, you know, more simple than it needs to be. But I mean, it's just absurd. And Film LA, amongst others, were definitely the Cantors in this whole scenario of trying to make the movie. So anyways, that said, you guys are not Cantors. You guys are doers. And I'll be talking to you later this week. Next step is assembling this thing, putting it together, getting a sound mix, possibly putting somewhat of a score on it. Getting better because I'm sick now. I'm actually doing the film vault tonight remotely because I don't want to get Brian sick. But woo, we are reaching the top of the mountain for this phase of it, and wow, it's great. It's tiring as all get out, but if you guys want to make a movie, just hear some of this, and just so you're not super surprised by it once you get there, because there are a whole lot of surprises. Right now, I'm about to take Mary's and Casey's to my actors. If you don't know who they are, they're two of the main people from Born Not Players, and they're both SAG, and they are having problems with their paperwork. So I just printed out 11 pages of paperwork, 5 different documents that need to be signed and noted, and I'm driving them over to Mary and Casey's house. Casey's Mary's son. He's the one who kind of was the germ of the idea to create the Born Not Players, and I'm going to help them out with the paperwork because Mary hasn't done any paperwork for SAG for 30 years or more since Casey was born, and there's just so much paperwork, and I would not be able to have done any of this if it wasn't for the help of, namely, Robert, who loves paperwork, and thank you so much, Robert Cherosinski, because I would have just shredded the paperwork halfway through and said, all right, never mind, there's too many fools who need to be a part of this that need like documentation of ridiculous things too. I know there needs to be documentation just to cover people's butts, and there's a lot of like shysters out there, but it seems to be a little bit overboard. All right, what am I doing? Why am I complaining when there's such good things? All right, thank you very much. I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that because you're already listening to a podcast.